We are still in John chapter 10. I did that twice, I don't know why. We're spending some time in John chapter 10. This discourse, as they call it, with Jesus. Discourse is just a nice word for when Jesus talks for a long time. That happens in John fairly frequently. There's a discourse about sheep and shepherds and today, gates. We talked 2 weeks ago about what it means to be Jesus' sheep. Last week, we looked at some of the background to what got Jesus talking about this when he's responding to the Pharisees that had confronted a man that Jesus healed, a blind man Jesus gave sight to, and they had thrown him out, and Jesus confronted them about that action. We got a little background. This morning, we're going to look at one part of this teaching that Jesus has in this discourse. Now, there are famously seven I am statements in John. Statements where Jesus makes the proclamation of I am something. And these are highlighted, and they maybe seemed a little more meaningful to the people who first hear them than when we read them. Because the way that he made the statement of I am is theologically significant in that it references back to the statement made in Exodus 3, where Moses asks God in the burning bush, who should I say sent me? And he says, tell them that I am sent. He said, I am who I am. Tell them that I am sent me. And it doesn't come across quite as strongly in the English because there's an emphatic use of I am in Greek, but I know you're not interested in that, so we're not going to go down that rabbit hole. But Jesus makes these statements of I am. So when he says I am, it means something a little more. So several of these are very famous statements. I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life, the resurrection, the way, the truth, and the life. I am the good shepherd. That's what this discourse often gets referred to as. This is the good shepherd discourse. Overlooked sometimes is that there's another I am in this chapter, in this discourse, and that is, I am the gate. And I don't think I hear a lot of references or see a lot of references to I am the gate. I see I am the light of the world a lot. There was a communion slide, I am the bread of life, right? Well, it's John. I am statements. I was looking through my ties to see what would be a good gate one, and I thought, oh, here's a tie with a bunch of names of Jesus with several I am statements. There's no gate on there. It's one that doesn't get emphasized a lot. I don't know if it's because if it's close proximity to the Good Shepherd, which is a very full image that we're going to look into more in the next couple weeks, or if you can't get as pretty a picture on a sermon slide of a gate, we don't get the same special warm feelings about Jesus as a gate, or another translation could be a door. But it is one of these statements. And Jesus says, I am the gate. Oops, I got ahead of myself. Yeah, might as well back up. This Thursday, I was out at Hope House. And I was talking with Riley and about what are some of the things that we can be helping with. And he said, remember he shared about the new building that they bought. And he shared the pictures of it all gutted out and all the things that they're going to be doing. Well, this is what it looks like this week. They're about to start using it in March. Start have their first classes in there. And said what they're trying to do now is to finish the place and get it ready for having classes and students and devotional groups. And they've started a Amazon charity wish list that sent me the link to. End of the Road is the larger organization that's involved here. I'm going to mail out this link, and it'll take you to an Amazon list that shows things that they like there. You can either click on those and have them send them directly to them, or send them to you and you can put them on the table. Or if you find one of these things elsewhere, you can go on there and say, I've bought this elsewhere. It takes it off the list, and we can give that to them. So I'll have some more information sent out about that later, which would have been a really good before we start talking thing. It wouldn't have killed the momentum of I am the gate. Sorry about that. All right. So he says in this chapter, in this discourse, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And he's going to move on from here to I am the good shepherd. And that's good stuff. We are going to talk about that. But this is a big deal. This idea of the gate. This idea of the one through whom the sheep can come in and go out and find what they need. Salvation on the inside, pasture on the outside. And now this is a little different than the reference to the gate at the beginning of chapter 10, which talks about keeping people out. When Jesus says, I am the gate, I am the door, he says, they come through me. He says that when the sheep are looking for salvation, they come through the gate. They come in and they go out and they find pasture. And Jesus is there as that door, as that gate. And when he talks about this salvation that is offered through him, I think there's probably another statement in John, and this is another one of the I Ams, that might come into your minds. That might sound familiar. This sounds maybe a little bit like in John 14. Thomas says, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That might be the language that sounds most familiar when Jesus talks about, I am the gate, and all who come through me seeking salvation will find it. But I mentioned, John 10 has a lot of looking forward and a lot of looking backward. So this is something that comes after John 10 that builds on what he's saying. But while we might recognize John 14 when we hear Jesus say, I am the gate, come through me to find salvation, they probably heard something a little different. Because there's another text about God's gate. Psalm 118, the middle point of the Bible. There are Same number of chapters after as there are before. Psalm 118. Open for me the gates of the righteous. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The psalmist is talking about the gate to the Lord, and the righteous are going to go in, and the salvation will be found through the gates. And you might be thinking this is nice and sounds like a nice thing said about gates, and good job using your concordance, Chase. I don't know if this is exactly what he's talking about, but look what comes after. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this and is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done this very day. Let us rejoice and be glad. We know this rejected cornerstone is used in the New Testament talking about Jesus. We see how the apostles built on this statement and saw this psalm, this statement, as being pointing to Jesus. Well, it comes right after this statement of the Lord's gate. That there needs to be someone through whom entry cannot be made. It's not a gate to keep anybody out. It's a gate to allow some to come in because they couldn't make it before. They could not make it on their own. Jesus says, I am the gate. If you are looking for salvation, it's got a good rhythm. I'm going to turn it off. Won't even turn off. There we go. Sorry about that. We'll check the batteries. We'll check all kinds of things, but we're not going to fuss over that anymore today. Jesus says that, the psalmist says, and Jesus says later, the people need salvation. And they're not finding it. They don't have the way. They've not had the way before. And we see Jesus talking to the Pharisees in similar ways at other times, showing they don't understand. They aren't doing what Jesus can do. And they may not even be interested in doing it. Jesus talks to the Pharisees in Matthew 23. This is part of those seven woes, which is much more depressing than seven I ams. But he says to them, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to." There's a few times Jesus talks to the Pharisees, says, you act like you are the keepers of the key to the kingdom. You don't have a key to the kingdom. You talk about a key, I'm the door. I'm the gate. He says, if you want to talk about getting to salvation, getting to the kingdom, that conversation has to begin and end with Jesus. Now, there is something very comforting about the Good Shepherd section of this discourse. There are good reasons that when we start talking about the Good Shepherd, it gives us nice feelings. We like the picture of Jesus with the lamb on his shoulders, right? The drawing imagery from the 99 and the 1. And we like this imagery of that Psalm 23 brings out, of the Lord is my shepherd, and he's going to take care of us, and he's going to watch over us. And it's a comforting image. But Jesus as the gate, as the door, while it may not give us the same warm fuzzies, it may not be something that we're going to stitch on something, it's critical. it is absolutely necessary for any of the rest of this story to matter. It's good that we feel protected and comfortable knowing that Jesus cares for us. It is absolutely critical that Jesus provided a way to salvation for us. He says, I am the gate for the sheep. This understanding of who Jesus is as the way to salvation is central to Christianity. It's central to our basic beliefs of who we are and what we are doing here. There's a statement that I came across by a couple different authors talking about this section. And it might take a little unpacking. But the statement is, ecclesiology is Christology. I'll explain. If you're not familiar with these words, ecclesiology means the study of the church, the study of God's people. A little easier to see, Christology is the study of who Jesus is. This statement, this text, talks about that if we are going to talk about who we are as a church, we have to recognize that we are talking about who Jesus is. It is unsubstitutable. It is unmistakable. It is crucial and central. This cumulative effect of the I am statements impacts the way that Christians view the church and the, for lack of a better word, everythingness of Jesus. There, we got both spectrums. We got ecclesiology, we got everythingness. We got all kinds of vocabulary. But you know, think about the way that Jesus talks about himself in John. And the way that it just highlights how everything we do, everything we believe, everything that we claim to be is about Jesus. He goes to the Feast of Tabernacles. We talked about Jesus at the Feast of Tabernacles. And it says, it's time for the ceremony of lights. He said, I am the light. And he hears his disciples talking about needing bread. He says, I'm the bread. There's a woman at a well. He says, I'm the living water. I'm the vine. You want to talk about shepherds? I'm the shepherd. I'm the gate. You say, it kind of seems like you say anything that matters, and Jesus says, that's me. That, if you want to know about that, come talk to me. And it all kind of is seen in this cumulative effect in this idea of the gate. It says, if you want to get to the Father, and the way and the truth and life follows the same way. So if you want to find the way, and that was another time, Thomas says, what's the way? I'm the way. So he says, we're looking for resurrection. I'm the resurrection. On one hand, it comes across as a little self-centered. If we're being honest, if you had a friend, every time you said you brought up a subject, they said, "Oh, that's me. That reminds me of something of me." It sounds a little self-centered, but on the other hand, it's a reminder of, as a church, just how Christ-centered we ought to be. It's not just any self, this is Jesus. We are called to see Jesus in who we are and in what we do. If we wear the name Christian, if we wear that name, which is borrowed from the name Christ, title Christ, if we are going to wear that name, we have to find that identity, our identity, in the identity of Jesus. We have to recognize that if we don't have another way to salvation, then if we don't have another way of getting to God in the end, then we ought not to have another way of being now. We ought to be able to see Jesus in what we're doing. Now it's time to take the bread. Jesus is the bread. That one's easy. Again, we have a slide for that. We say, it's time to sing praises. Jesus is the praises. It's time to study the Word. Jesus is the Word. It's time to go do service. Jesus is service. Can we say this about all the things that we do? It sounds very self-centered unless you realize the self is worth centering on. So, next week we're going to get into the nice warm fuzzies of Jesus as the shepherd. And we'll pay off that what does it mean to be the sheep, and we'll talk more about that. But I feel like before we get to that, before we get to what life in Christ is and can be, we need to recognize that there is no way to that life, that salvation. There is no way to that except to come through Jesus. And it seems weird, perhaps, to worship a door. It's not, you put images up front, there's no picture of a door. You go out the door later. You come and came in the door. But Jesus said that is what is the perfect image for if you want to come to God. Like the psalm said, if you're coming to salvation, you need a gate. You need a door. Jesus said there wasn't one until he came. And now there is. I think I still will talk about the I am the good shepherd more. I think I'm still probably going to reference light of the world a little more often. But I really appreciated spending some time this week with this idea of I am the gate. If I'm being honest, if a month ago you'd asked me to write out the seven I ams, I might have forgotten the gate. I hope that we don't do that from here on. I hope we recognize this wrapped up identity of who the church is who Jesus is. But that's all for this morning. We'll go on to the shepherd next week. So if there's anything you need, and hopefully you heard the back half of this lesson, and sorry about taking a detour in the middle. None of us are perfect except one. He's the gate. But if there's anything you need this morning, we're not perfect, but we're a little better when we're together. We're a little better when we hold each other up and we can support one another. If you need anything, please come forward. Let us know as we stand and sing.
Kneel at the cross, Christ will meet you there. He intercedes for